B-Pod Studios.
Let's bring in Mam for some analysis. What does he think the Eagles will do from this point on? He's the great number 36, Brian Westbrook, brought to us by Visit Philly. Headed to the city for the game. Well, no more games, but you can always check out a Sixer game. Yeah, Flyers, whatever, Union. Union still play? No. Book the Visit Philly overnight hotel package. Flyers still playing? Anyway, Visit Philly overnight hotel package. Enjoy over $200 worth of free perks, including free parking. Find out more at visitphilly.com.
That's a violation.
Let's bring him in. His name is Brian Westbrook. B. West, how you doing today?
You know what, Mike? I'm not doing great. Anytime the season's over, I always go into a state of mourning because I want our Eagles to win every game, every Super Bowl, and following up a great run to get into the playoffs, we just couldn't seal the deal against a very good New Orleans Saints team.
All right, and I see, I'm disappointed too, and here's why. I think the New Orleans Saints is a better team, but things were falling into place for the Eagles. Now, they had made some mistakes. They let New Orleans back in the game with that interception, but they got to the 27-yard line. So let's look at that circumstance. There are a lot of people say, you should have just run it to the two-minute warning, take your time, come up with a better play than that. But the play was open. The guy just didn't catch the ball.
Yeah, I certainly was one of those guys that felt that they should take it to the two-minute warning. But I also understand Doug's side of it. I think Doug felt they were on a roll. They want to keep the ball rolling. They don't want to stop things because of the two-minute warning. And so you're right. Everything about the play worked. Alshon is wide open. Nick delivered a pretty good ball, even though it's before the two-minute warning. Alshon just dropped it. He just allowed the ball to go through his hands. And so, you know, it's one of these things in games where you're saying, you know, you can't point the finger, can't blame anybody. Of course, Alshon, very good receiver, would catch a lot of those balls. But at this point in the season, you know, you have to start wondering why. Why were you in that position? You're up 14-0 after the first quarter. You have to find a way to put the ball in the end zone or at least a field goal. After that, offensively, we just weren't good enough.
Yeah, we'll go back and then we'll go forward to that play again because I want to know, it looked like he felt really bad about that play, and I wondered if you've ever been in a situation like that before. But when the Eagles get up 14-0 and they get Breeze throwing an interception, they score off of that, they score on a drive, and then they get the Saints 3-and-out. And then they get the Saints to punt, and then the interception happens. He missed him. It was not a good throw. He missed him.
Yeah, well, you know, listen, I think it was a terrible throw by Nick Foles, of course, on the interception. It was. He has to get the ball up and out in front of Zach Ertz. On the deep ball, you can never throw it short because hopefully your receiver is past the defender. And if you throw it too long, then it's just an incomplete. You throw it short, then it's an interception. We saw that. After that, Mike, we saw a tentative Nick Foles. We saw a guy that looked a little gun-shy, didn't want to pull the trigger on some of his throws. He didn't have the same type of zip on the ball. This is Nick Foles that we saw a long time ago. That's not the guy that won us the Super Bowl last year. And unfortunately, that's the guy that showed up in the second round of the playoffs. And when we needed him the most, he just didn't give us enough. And you kind of add that to the fact that there's no running game. You add that to the fact that Jason Peters went out. Brandon Brooks got injured as well. And it really turns into an offense that cannot score the football.
Yeah, I was just going to ask you about the time of possession on their final eight drives. Now, I guess it goes back to the first quarter, probably. 12 minutes, 51 seconds was their time of possession. Now, what was wrong with it? Like, why couldn't they move the ball? They found ways in the end of the season and in the playoffs to move the ball. Why couldn't they move it in this particular game?
Yeah, at the end of the game, I think it was 22 minutes they had, which is still not enough. Mm-hmm. Obviously, the Saints had it for 38 minutes. But, when they were moving the ball, the first two series, it was a balanced offense. They were running the football. They were throwing the ball, completing those passes. And then it got to a point where you stopped running. I think a lot of that had to do with Brandon Brooks not being in the game. And now the Saints, where they were off balance and on their heels defensively, now they're able to attack the quarterback, get after Nick Foles just a little bit. And it just looked like a different offense because you didn't have that balance. And for this whole run, the last month and a half of football, it's been run the football and throw it. Run the football and throw it. And unfortunately, in this game, after the first quarter, we went away from both of those types of things.
All right, the Saints scored the touchdown, and then in the second half, the 18-play possession. But that play, with they converted three third downs and the third and 16 to Michael Thomas. How does that play even happen when they have that zone flooded?
Yeah, it makes no sense to me. And if you want to point to a couple of different things on the defensive side of the ball, not getting pressure on the quarterback, that's a big-time thing. But converting those thirds and longs was a big issue for this defense. And really, when you look at it all season long, that's been a big issue. I'm looking and thinking back to the Tennessee game where we gave up third and long to Corey Davis across the middle of the field or on the sideline. And that's been an issue. And I think a lot of times when you're playing with reserve players like Hawkins because, Rasul Douglas got hurt, you're going to give up some of these plays. And unfortunately for this defense, they've come at costly times. And when you allow the Saints team to convert 53% of their third downs, it's almost impossible to win a football game that way. That's why the Saints had 38 minutes of time of possession.
Curious to know what you have done on the touchdown that after the interception where they moved it down, and they had a couple of gutty plays on that, the first one being the fake punt. Now, they've got Taysom Hill in the game. He's done this before where he's in the game. They use him in fake-type situations. Before that happened, there was a penalty that would have made it 3rd-and-11 for the Saints. Were you okay with the decision to decline that, or would you have taken that penalty?
In hindsight, I think I certainly would have taken the penalty and made them get 11 yards on third down. And basically, and I'll say this, based on what I've seen of our defense, giving up 3rd-and-16, 3rd-and-20, whatever else, there was a high probability that the Saints would have got that first down anyway. So I would have pushed them back. But, you know, when they called the play, to me, if I see Hill out there, which he's going to be out there, he's on the punt team, I probably would have called timeout to make my guys aware. I think the guys already knew the defensive stay team was on the field. I'm shocked. You know, the thing that shocked me is that you have your first team defense out there, and you have versus the punt team. We're talking about linebackers and safeties and some wide receivers, some running backs. Those are the guys that got the push that allowed Hill to get up the middle for that 1 yard. That kind of shocks me against a big Fletcher Cox and the different guys that we have on our defensive front. That shocks me that they're able to get enough push to be able to get that yard. But
yeah, Cox got hurt on that play also.
That's right.
Yeah,
right.
So
but I would have pushed them back. I would have pushed them back anyway. Make it third and longer. Been the short.
Yeah, I would have too. And I said at the time, and I know it is hindsight, but, you know, 4th-and-1, Doug Peterson is the master of saying that 4th-and-1, the probability you're going to get that. And when Taysom Hill always scares me, I've seen him before make those kind of plays, and I knew that Peyton was going to have something up his sleeve, and that turned out to be a really big play in that.
Momentum changer. And here's the other thing. I think Doug is banking on the fact that they're at their own 30, and there's no way that they were risked.
Yeah,
potentially giving the Eagles the ball at that point in the field. Unfortunately, he was wrong about that.
Yeah,
that's the
all right. Let's move up again to the play with Jeffrey. You got to feel sick when a play like that happens. Has that type of situation ever happened to you in any kind of a game?
You know, I'm trying to think back. There has been a couple of games where I dropped the ball. There was a game, I want to say it was against Dallas, that I fumbled. And those are the types of situations where you know you have let your team down. You have put your team in a losing type of situation. And situation that you just can never get away from. You can get away from the way that you feel personally, but when you let the other guys on the offense, the other guys on your team down, that's the part that it probably disappoints you the most. And probably that's the part that's going to live with Alshon throughout the offseason, letting the guys around him down. I appreciate the fact that he said it's his fault. I appreciate that because it takes a grown man to do that. Unfortunately, that just doesn't help us win a game.
All right, Brian, let's look ahead quickly now because, you know, this situation we have addressed before, but now it's a reality. They're definitely moving on from Foles at this point. Wentz is going to be your starter. You agree with that, right?
I agree, yeah.
Okay, now what do they do with Graham, Hicks, Ajayi, Darby, Tate, Aguilar, Pete or Sproles? What are you? You're looking at all these guys that are in tenuous situations here. Who do you bring back? Who you don't bring back?
Right, a lot of different guys that you have the conversation about bringing back. To me, if a guy has been out for an extended period of time with injury, I have to question my ability to bring him back because sometimes those things repeat themselves. If those guys are a little bit older, I have to question myself to bring them back. I think Howie made a couple mistakes this season in bringing some guys back, and I don't see him making that same mistake again.
Are we talking about Peters and Sproles here?
Well, I think if you have an opportunity to bring in guys that can help you all season long, that can be in the game to help you, then that's what you have to do. Unfortunately, when you win a Super Bowl, emotionally, you bring back guys that maybe shouldn't be here, that you wouldn't bring back normally. And I think in some of those situations, he brought those guys back because there was an emotional tie. And I think Darren helped us out a lot as far as when he got healthy. Unfortunately, there were a lot of games, 10-plus games, where he couldn't help us just because he was hurt.
Yeah, and he's not going to get healthier. What about Graham?
I love Brandon Graham. I love what he can do. If you can find a replacement, of course you do it. But I think Brandon, when healthy, can help you in the run game as well as the pass game. He can do a lot of different things. Again, another tough decision to make. You have to weigh the contract versus the productivity. And would you be able to get someone cheaper, two or three different guys cheaper than what you would get for Brandon Graham, what you would have to end up paying him? That's a big-time question.
Would you take a shot with Ajayi on a one-year deal?
No, I wouldn't.
Okay, you're moving on completely here.
This is the reason why. I know how that knee, I know how knees and injuries are for running backs.
Mm-hmm.
And I know when it gets bad, one injury after another. And I would be concerned about that knee for Jay Ajayi. I think when they got him from Miami, they felt that maybe he had 2 years left on that knee. And this would be the third of those years. And I just don't know that he'll get that production that you want from him. And truthfully, it's about time that they go out and get themselves a bell cow type of running back.
They got a lot of work to do.
Yeah, there's a lot of holes to fill. There's a lot of work to do. Howie Roseman is going to have a great offseason. He's going to have one of his best offseason because, again, for the Eagles and Doug Peterson, they want this to be the new normal, what they did last year. But they have to make the playoffs. They have to make their team better. And this offseason with free agency and the draft is going to be huge.
All right, man. Is this the end of we're talking to Brian Westbrook? Is this like the swan song?
Only on Monday. He's still going to be here every Friday.
This one Friday?
That's year round.
I'm going to keep calling back in, but I have a big time bone to pick with you, my friend.
What's that?
Friday, we're picking our picks.
Yeah.
And you tell me that you feel that the L.A. Chargers are going to win.
I did.
I get a text message from you.
Yes.
Before the game, I picked the Patriots to win. I had to go to Jersey.
I flipped. I had a God moment.
Oh, my God.
I was in my car in Jersey making the play. I hit the Rams hard, and the New England game pops up on my screen, and I go, I can't bet against them. I can't. I just can't. I'm sorry, man. I couldn't. I go. I can't possibly bet against Brady in this game. I'm going money line Patriots. I flipped. I'm a phony.
That was a good decision because it wasn't even close. I don't know what happened to the Dallas defense, the Dallas Cowboys defense, and I definitely don't know what happened to the Chargers defense.
Yeah, they looked unprepared, man. They came east again and weren't ready for it.
That's right.
All right, brother. We'll talk to you Friday.
Sounds good.
All right, man. There's Brian Westbrook brought to us by Visit Philly. Headed to the city for the game. Book the Visit Philly overnight hotel package. Enjoy over $200 worth of free perks, including free parking. Find out more at visitphilly.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.